Colossians chapter 3 on Through the Word, and it is still all about Jesus. On that, I have a question for you. Do you think it's possible in marriage for someone to love the idea of marriage, but forget to love their spouse? You know, get all caught up in romantic notions and dreams, but not really connecting with the other person? It can happen. And in the same way, do you think it's possible in your Christian life to love the idea of Christianity, but forget to love Jesus? To get so caught up in amazing Bible truths and prophecy, or caught up in good deeds and pure living, that you sort of stop treating Jesus like a person and just treat him like a belief system? It's called leaving your first love. And trust me, it's possible. And it's exactly where we left off in Colossians. Back in chapter 2, Paul warned us not to get caught up in Christianity without Christ. Bad teaching was invading the church with a pseudo-intellectual, hyper-spiritual Christianity that is all about secret knowledge and a big box of do-nots. It's a miserable and judgmental Christianity because it's not Christianity. It's loving the shadow of Jesus instead of the person of Jesus. Christianity without Christ is like marriage without a spouse. Saying that your faith outgrew Jesus is like saying, I got so good at being a husband, I don't need a wife anymore. No. In chapter 1, we learned who Jesus is. In chapter 2, we learned who we are in Christ. We were dead, but God made us alive with Christ. The two go together. It's all meaningless if it's not with Christ. Every last aspect of the book of Colossians is about Jesus. With Jesus, in Jesus, and for Jesus. You died with Christ, and here in chapter 3, you are alive with Christ. Verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So Paul says, look up. Always remember to look up. Jesus went up, and you are going with him. So seek things above. Think about them. Pursue them with passion. Listen, I know we can't get to heaven yet, but setting your mind on the destination changes the journey. When I was 17 years old, I drove through 20 long, slow miles of I-15 traffic in San Diego twice a day, and I loved it. Now, traffic itself is awful, but I enjoyed almost every minute. Want to know why? I was crazy about a girl, and the traffic was on my way to see her. I remember rolling down my windows in bumper-to-bumper traffic in my old beat-up two-door and just sat back and enjoyed, because I knew where I was going, and that changed the whole journey. I married that girl, by the way, and I still love the road home. Now catch the analogy. This whole life is traffic. It will be frustration every day until we are home in heaven. But for Christians, we know our destination, and we know we will be with Jesus. So set your minds above, not on earthly things. How do you do that? Jesus said, store your treasures in heaven. That means invest in it, and you will find that where your treasure goes, your heart will follow. And spend time thinking about heaven. As for earthly things, remember Lot's wife. And don't look back. Moving on to verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's it. You died, and now you have a new life, hidden with Jesus. I like that. Hidden. People look at the new you and wonder, where's all that life coming from? Well, in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I love that. Jesus is my life. When he appears, we will appear. We will see the real Jesus and will finally get a body to match the renewed image in us. The rest of the chapter is all about taking off that old self that died and putting on the new self that is alive in Christ. Dead to the worldly, alive to Jesus. That's easier said than done. Sometimes that old dead you comes back like a one-man zombie apocalypse. So in verse 5, Paul says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now this is a whole different look at that old box of do-nots. It is still bad to do bad things, but we don't keep away from them by rules and have-tos. We kill that part of us that wants to do the bad things, put it to death and bury it. Why? Paul explains that all those bad things are not just wrong, they're idolatry. Idolatry means replacing God with something else. It is cheating on God. Think of it like this. I refuse to flirt romantically with anyone who isn't my wife. But I don't do it because it's a marriage rule. I do it because I love my wife. Not just feelings, commitment. And just like that, I refuse to get caught up in greed, lust, and envy. Not because it's in the Christian rule book, but because I love Jesus. My heart and mind are set on him. So put the old sinner inside you to death. As it says in verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This is huge. The new you is not just the old you with a clean slate. You are being renewed. That's made new again. Start over. Renewed in knowledge in the image of your creator. That means all the way back. Back to Genesis 1, when mankind was made in God's image, male and female. This is what we were meant to be in the first place. Remade in God's image, a reflection of his nature, his love, his goodness. In his image means we become more and more like him. An image is like a picture. It isn't the actual person, but you see it and you think of the real person. That is what mankind is meant to be. That picture of God's nature. An image is like a son growing up to look like his dad. Not just the chin or the hair, but the joy, the laugh, the compassion and kindness. That little something that makes you say, just like his dad. This is mankind's founding purpose. We lost it, but Jesus restored it. Jesus is God's image, and he came as a man in order to renew us in God's image. And what happens when we are made new in his image? Verse 11. This is big. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. That verse is monumental. Paul picks out every dividing line between mankind. Everything that people use to set one over another, the lines of race, religious practice, social status, economic status, all that drives men to oppression, war, and injustice. And he abolishes them all. We are all equal in Christ. Color, nationality, class. And in Galatians 3, when Paul repeats it, he includes male and female as well. In Christ, we are one. Every human on earth is invited to be in Christ. And here, there are no dividing lines. This is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that is awesome. Memorize verse 11. But we have to ask, if glorious unity is God's plan, why is there so much division in his church? And why has the church supported inequality so often? Good question. That inequality comes from rules-based religion, graceless and judgmental self-righteousness, and it is exactly what Paul is fighting against. So the rest of the chapter is all about how to get it right. You are remade in God's image, so live it. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, and humility, so people will say of you, just like your dad. That is, your heavenly dad. Read Colossians 3 and join us next time to dig into Paul's directions for living it out.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.